He woke up. Vimes went back and lay on the bunk, staring at the badly spelled and anatomically incorrect graffiti on the ceiling. For a while, there was a raised voice from upstairs with an occasional intrusive from Snouty. Then he heard the jailer's footsteps on the stairs again. "Well, well, well," he said, with the tone of someone looking forward to seeing a third party get what was coming to them. "Turns out the captain wants to see you right away. Now, are you going to let me shackle you, or do I call the lads down?"
God's protect you, Vimes thought. Maybe it was true that the blow that had spread Snouty's nose across his face had scrambled his brain. You had to be a special kind of idiot to try to handcuff a dangerous prisoner all by yourself. If he'd tried it with Carser, for example, he'd have been a dead idiot 5 minutes ago.
The jailer opened the door. Vimes stood up and presented his wrists. After a second's hesitation, Snouty handcuffed him. It always paid to be nice to the jailer. You might not get handcuffed behind your back. But a man with both hands in front of him had quite a lot of freedom.
"You go up the stairs first," said Snouty,
and reached down and picked up a rather more efficient-looking crossbow than Vimes had seen last night.
"And if you even try to walk fast, mister, I'll shoot you where you die slow."
"Very fair," said Vimes, "very fair." He walked up the stairs very carefully, hearing Snouty's heavy breathing right behind him. Like many people of limited intellectual scope, Snouty did take what he could do very seriously. He'd show a refreshing lack of compunction about pulling that trigger, for one thing. Vimes reached the top of the stairs and remembered to hesitate.
"Now, turn left, you," said Snouty behind him.
Vimes nodded to himself, and then first on the right, it was all coming back to him in a great wave. This was Treacle Mine Road. This was his first watch house. This was where it all began. The captain's door was open. The tired-looking old man behind the desk glanced up.
"Be seated," said Tilden coldly. "Thank you, Snouty."
Vimes had mixed memories of Captain Tilden. He had been a military man before being given this job as a kind of pension, and that was a bad thing in a senior copper. It meant he looked to authority for orders and obeyed them, whereas Vimes found it better to look to authority for orders and then filter those orders through a fine mesh of common sense, adding a generous scoop of creative misunderstanding and maybe even incipient deafness if circumstances demanded, because authority rarely descended to street level. Tilden set too great a score by shiny breastplates and smartness on parade. You had to have some of that stuff. That was true enough. You couldn't let people slob around. But although he'd never voiced the view in public, Vimes liked to see a bit of battered armour around the place. It showed that someone had been battering it. Besides, when you were lurking in the shadows, you didn't want to gleam. There was an Ankh-Morpork flag pinned to one wall, the red faded to threadbare orange. Rumour had it that Tilden saluted it every day. There was also a very large silver inkstand with a gilt regimental crest on it, occupying quite a lot of the desk. Snouty polished it every morning and it shone. Tilden had never quite left the army behind. Still, Vimes retained a soft spot for the old man. He'd been a successful soldier as these things went. He'd generally been on the winning side and had killed more of the enemy by good if dull tactics than his own men by bad but exciting ones. He'd been, in his own way, kind and reasonably fair. The men of the watch had run rings around him without him even noticing. Now Tilden was giving him the long stare with associated paperwork. It was supposed to mean, "We know all about you, so why don't you tell us all about yourself?" But he really wasn't any good at it. Vimes returned it blankly.
"What is your name again?" said Tilden, aware that Vimes was the better starer.
"Keel," said Vimes. "John Keel."
"And what the hell?"
"Look," he said, "you've only got one piece of paper there that means anything, and that's the report from that sergeant, assuming he can write."
"As a matter of fact, I have two pieces of paper," said the captain. "The other one concerns the death of John Keel."
"What?"
"What?
For a scrap with the watch?"
"In the current emergency, that would be quite sufficient for the death penalty," said Tilden, leaning forward. "But, ha! Perhaps it won't be necessary in this case, because John Keel died yesterday. You beat him up and robbed him, what? You took his money, but you didn't bother with the letters, because your sort can't read, what? So you wouldn't have known that John Keel was a policeman, what?"
"What?"
Vimes stared at the skinny face with its triumphantly bristling moustache and the little faded blue eyes. And then there was the sound of someone industriously sweeping the floor in the corridor outside. The captain looked past him, growled,